This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it's been too damn long since I've seen your face, people. Because I've been recording everything at different shows and things. So, welcome! Welcome back to a more of a live kind of a show. Josh Hancock joining me, the Hollywood insider and consultant, all things film and television. He matches the car with the character. And he and I were both, I was only at the LA Auto Show for just a flash. I saw one press conference, and then I had to go and do busy work and get paid. Josh,
what?
On the other hand, did busy work and didn't get paid, but that's another story.
It's part of my nonprofit work.
That's right. That's the car business mostly for us journalists, you know.
Yeah, so what press conference did you go to?
Actually, because I was doing this thing with Kia. Kia, you know, they're just on fire. It's ridiculous. And I got to hand it to BJ and Scott Killeen for, you know, putting their finger on the pulse and going, this car company is really doing good. Because, you know, they did this long-term kind of test drive review with that Kia minivan.
Right.
They actually bought it from them after. It was like a one-year thing, and then they went, you know what? We love it. We want to buy it. Which is, I mean, that shows that, you know, after having something for free for a year to talk about and drive it and test it, you go, I got to keep it. That's it. That's all there is to it. So, but they're like number one in J.D. Power and Associates for customer satisfaction and quality. Let's just put them over everything. Rolls Royce, BMW, Mercedes, Audi. I mean, that's pretty impressive, this little, you know, Korean car company to just kick everybody's butt like that. Then they come out with the Stinger. Now, you haven't driven the Stinger yet, have you?
I haven't, and I had the chance at SEMA, but I just didn't have
the
time.
The lines were too long. Here is a car, twin turbo V6, also available with a four-cylinder, but twin turbo V6, 365 horsepower, rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. This is kind of a grand touring body, so it's a four-door, but very kind of low and sleek and good-looking, designed by the guy that designed most of the Audis you see on the road today. Engineered by the guy that engineered BMW's M Performance Division. I mean, these guys were really smart. So within that test drive thing and the briefing that we did, they said something that blew my head off. I was like sitting there and all of a sudden they go, and then we gathered everybody together and shared our tribal knowledge. And I went, whoa, tribal knowledge. I love that. Because at the end of the day, it takes a village, right? But what happens is some of these car companies, they get their blinders on and they start creating these things that, you know, that they think this is good. It's like the Pontiac Aztec, right?
They're too subjective.
Yeah. They did their research. This is what the world wants. We're going to build the Pontiac. And technically, on paper, should have been the perfect SUV vehicle. No, it wasn't. It was ugly. It was wonky. It was weird. But so
take it easy. There's a big Aztec group.
You know what? And I'd buy one.
You're offending me.
I'd buy one because I buy weird stuff like that. But I'd also buy a Gremlin. I was looking at a Gremlin the other day. I was like, hey, it's a Gremlin. So anyway, but they got together and they built this thing. It's called the Stinger. Now, it's just now coming out. And so afterwards, I said, you know, I work with Entrepreneur Magazine, and that is such an entrepreneurial spirit. I want to talk about that. Would you guys like to be involved? And they're like, yeah, we'll put somebody on. So they gave me, who'd they give me? Who do you think they gave me from Kia? Come on. You know him. Yep. James Bell. Yep.
Oh.
So he's on the show. You guys, if you listen to the show all the time, you've heard James Bell. He's one of us. He's a car guy that works. He's an entrepreneur. You know, he's on the big corporation. Anyway, he was really good. But I also got Miles Kovacs from Dub Magazine, a total entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I got, who else did I get? Let's see. Hold on. I got Miles. I got Mike Spagnola from SEMA, who is also a entrepreneur. You know, he's 40 years in business before he went to work for SEMA. And then I got this lady who I met through Microsoft who was running their automotive works division and just became an entrepreneur. And we had an hour-long discussion about, you know, all the founding fathers of the auto industry, every single one of them, from Henry Ford to Carl Benz, were all entrepreneurs.
This was really for Auto Mobility LA.
Yeah, well.
Is that true?
Well, it was for the LA Auto. It was for Entrepreneur because it was a live stream. Hang on a second. I got to take a little break here. And then I'll let you talk.
I haven't said anything this first segment anyway.
I know. Well, sorry. You know what? I hopped up on a lot of coffee here, so this is going to be an exciting two or three segments.
Great.
You're listening to The Drive. Sit down, shut up, and we'll be right back. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. Josh Hancock not saying a damn thing like normal, making his weird laugh, sitting there heckling me.
It's my job.
Oh, this is a car show, and we try and talk common sense and fun, entertaining talk about cars.
All right.
So wait a minute. Let me just tell you something. I did a little bit of research for this thing. You know me. That's not like me. I like to be, six shooter from the hip.
You like to be fresh and
What I found out is that Carl Benz, and I said a little bit of this yesterday in the last segment, so if I'm repeating, too bad. He began development of his first petrol engine in 1878, and he founded Benz & Company in 1883, built his first car in 1885-86, right? Then you have Henry Ford, 1896, built his first car. And then you just keep going down and you look at everybody on this list from Ferdinand Porsche, Walter Owen Bentley, Ettore Bugatti, David Dunbar Buick.
Let's get to a
Lewis
point here,
Chevrolet, shut up. Chrysler, Walter Percy Chrysler, Andre Citra.
Dodge Brothers, we can
Horace and, you know, Enzo, and anyway. Yeah. All entrepreneurs, every single one of them. So that's what I did at the LA Auto Show, and I'll post it later on the show.
Okay.
Yep.
That's lovely.
Now, what did you do?
Well, I wanted to talk about one huge movie tie-in at the LA Auto Show, and I'm sure you know which one it is.
I don't.
That would be Lucasfilms and
Star Wars.
Nissan.
Yeah.
With Star Wars, and I mean, even to the fact that they've modified these cars to look like
Star Wars things,
fighters,
yeah.
And they partnered with Google Zoo. You could actually stand back, and there were some motion actions. You could make the car do things. They did a whole virtual reality situation. Again, it was called Battle Test 360. You know, they've spent some real money getting next to this latest Star Wars movie, and I find it fascinating because last year they had the Rogue, and they could play off the Rogue within the movie. This year it's just blatantly, we're spending money on this movie, and here we are.
Well, wait a minute. Did you get invited like a couple of our friends that did? I'm going to have Carl Brower on. He went.
Carl Brower was invited, yes.
Those buttheads. What is going on?
And that was a huge premiere and a huge theater, but, you know, I was invited to Blade Runner, so I'll take that over Star Wars any day. But the point is that this tie-in with Lucasfilm is just massive that they have done, and it's one of the biggest ones we've ever seen in the industry.
Well, you know, you remember when I did the show with Mark Hamill, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I was thinking about reaching out to him, and I thought, you know, you just can't do it. Because that was when it was his we'll call it the quiet years, the dark years. And it was about, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. We did a show together. And Mark Hamill is just a great dude. He really is.
Very intelligent guy.
Smart as heck and got
very intelligent.
He's done over 600 cartoon voiceovers.
Wow.
And all the photos that everybody that we know that were, you know, there was like four or five elite people that we were not a part of got invited to this world debut of the movie, whatever it is. And Mark Hamill was there. And I thought, you know, I mean, I should just call him on a cell and go, dude, you didn't invite me. What's up?
No, they were very specific about who was going to cover the movie for what publication. And, I get it.
I'm not. So anyway, you know what? I'm not going to let Carl talk about it on the show. Forget it.
That's right. Tell him he cannot talk about it.
And then I'm going to send it to the Nissan people and say, you see, this is what you get when you...
you should have invited me.
See, you dummies, you buttheads.
Did you see, speaking of this, because you had to because you walked through and you were there on Thursday, so you probably saw Steve Saleen's new car.
Yeah, that's a good-looking machine. What's it made of?
That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because you and I interviewed him at SEMA.
Right.
And he said he had a big announcement.
Yeah.
Do
you know what it's made on? What is it kind of developed
from?
Yeah,
it's made on a Lotus
chassis. That's what I thought, Lotus, yeah.
Yeah. But
interesting.
It's interesting. It's 450 horsepower, but it's only 2,500 pounds.
Yeah. That's the
power to weight. Like putting 450 horsepower on you. Very similar.
Right, right. Well, 450 horsepower. My Viper is 3,200 pounds. So that's actually about equivalent to the 630 horsepower in the Viper, because 700 pounds, like the third of the weight, or not a third, but, 25% of the weight, whatever it is. Anyway, still, that'll be a fast machine. All right, hold on. Don't go anywhere. You're running me into these commercials like this.
Oh, for God. Well, I got to speak.
I tried not to let that happen. It is a radio show, after all. We'll take a little break. Josh and I will have more to talk about from the LA Auto Show. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. No, I have not got my demon yet, and I am mad. We'll be right back. Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga. I can't stop this feeling.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
The song was perfect for Josh.
Right.
It's what I think when I think of you. Well, actually, not that part, but anyway. Anyway, we're talking about the LA Auto Show, and I saw one unveiling of the Kia, and I don't even honestly remember what it was. Because it was, I just happened to be blasting by to go talk to somebody at Kia. And then I was like, oh, they're unveiling something over here. But anyway, there was some unveilings. Like you said, Steve Saleen unveiled his new supercar, we'll call it.
Well, I went to the Lincoln Nautilus party.
Oh.
That was on Tuesday night. And they're doing a sponsorship of a new hotel in Hollywood. The hotel is called the Dream Hotel.
Mm.
And it's brand new. It's very trendy. And they craned what used to be called the MKX is now called the Nautilus.
Love the name.
They're putting the Continental Grill, their new DNA on. They've now successfully put it on every vehicle in the line. And they are slowly changing the names. Everything will lose its numeric name and have a real name.
Hmm.
And they did a party. They craned the car on the roof, put a cover on the pool, put it on the pool. They had cars downstairs, and then they shut off a lane and put these big displays of a navigator. I mean, they really spent some money.
Once
so
again,
here's what's happening. So the MKC, which is their smaller SUV the size of an Escape, will now That name change hasn't been announced, but when it will be announced, it'll be called Corsair.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And the MKZ will go back to Zephyr.
You're kidding.
And then the vehicle that will come out next is the...
Oh, good on you. I know.
No.
Here's the thing.
Aviator.
I don't like the name Zephyr. Sorry. Just don't like it. Maybe it's because of the car, the cars, and I don't know. But it's like, that's just not, I don't know. Anyway, but it's funny.
It's not strong enough for you.
Well, Zephyr.
Nautilus is great, isn't it?
I like Nautilus because, of course, Captain Nemo is a great
automotive name. And these names, by the way, they owned. I mean, Corsair goes back to either a Lincoln convertible or an Edsel, actually, I think of now. Hmm. Zephyr goes way back. Aviator goes back. It's good stuff. I mean, they're being really applauded for this in an industry that has called for it for years. And, one of the biggest reasons that car companies do these numerical designations is because they sell in multiple countries. Mm. And they don't want mispronunciations or mismeanings, which we've seen in the past.
Right.
And if you look at the fact that Lamborghini has just come out with a new SUV, and it's big, and it's muscly, and it's powerful, but it's called a Urus.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't think that translates particularly well to one of the most important markets in the world.
Well, and
how's your Urus? It's fine. It's okay. It only acts up when I eat sugar.
That is so wrong in so many ways. The other bad one is a Hyundai had a car. I won't even repeat the name, but it does mean the horse genitals in one of the other countries. Uh-huh. And so it's like it's called something else there, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that happened with Chevrolet Nova.
Yeah, right. No-go. Nova. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. So, well.
But what they found is that The Lincoln names do really well in China because they're sort of revered American names. And since that's the largest car market in the world,
right,
and one of the most important to these luxury brands, they've gone ahead and made this decision, which I think is great fun anyway. Look, this is great drama within the auto industry.
Well, I remember when they decided to stop using the names and went to, alphanumeric, and they would say, and it was like this, they would say, well, if you're driving our car, we don't want you saying you're driving, an Acura. They want you to say Acura, whatever the alphanumeric name is, instead of I drive a Legend. Remember when the Acura Legend, the word Legend was so powerful, I drive a Legend. And so they went away from it, and a lot of the car companies followed suit, and it was like, oh, God.
Everybody followed suit. Everybody. Look, Cadillac, Lincoln, they were some of the last holdouts.
Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't care for it.
When Lincoln did it, they actually wanted you, in the beginning, they wanted you to say, like an MKZ, they wanted you to say Mark Z.
Are you serious? See, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah. Right. And nobody did.
Yeah. Well, and it's with the Mazda Miata, with the MX-5. I'd say, oh, there's the new Mazda Miata. They're like, no, it's the MX-5. I go, it's the freaking Miata. Leave me alone. You call whatever you want. It's like when you go to Starbucks. Give me a large. I don't care what you call it. I want a large. It's like.
Same thing,
It's just too funny.
That's a perfect example.
It is. It's good. All right. Hang tight. Hold on. I want to bring BJ in because three of us have not been on the radio in a long time together. We're going to do that. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Is what it's called. It's appropriate for what's coming up next, everybody. You're listening to The Drive. Our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, the information resource for the DIY enthusiast, and they're the worldwide leader of automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. Good stuff. We'll be right back. It's The Drive.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, Is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485-horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Okay, besides the guy on the radio that is the guest named Scott, also a.k.a. Josh Hancock. Keep calling him Scott off the air, I don't know why. Now we add B.J. Colleen, the car expert that actually brings data to the table.
We hope.
It's been a long time since the three of us have been on the radio together.
I know, and we've all been out of jail for a while, so that's pretty good.
Exactly.
We used to have a very hard time being on the radio together because BJ and I would start laughing, and we wouldn't be able to stop.
Correct. That's mostly what it was. So.
And that was also at Alan's expense.
Which is okay. Yes, that's all right. I had an expense account for that.
Oh, boy. Oh, dear.
So BJ did not go to the LA Auto Show. I was there for about 5 hours, but working on a project. We are depending totally on Josh Hancock to give us the full update.
Well, again, I did sort of start to broach the thing about how they are making, they're trying to establish themselves and changing the name to Auto Mobility LA, which is very interesting, in terms of the press week. And now the press week has grown. Instead of 2 days of press unveils, it's 4 days. And two of those days are just meeting with technology companies, basically.
Right.
Well, and now Detroit is reacting, and they're calling theirs, oh, they've got a name for their, it's like Automobility D, dash
yeah,
D for
yeah,
Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, yeah. And you know what people are going to call it, right? The Detroit Auto Show.
Right. No, I think they're going to call it the Big D.
Oh, the Big D.
Yeah, could be it's for anything. Because in L.A., they add this huge building out in front, a pavilion for the technology companies. And a lot of them are, you know, are not very established companies. There was a battery company in there that also makes bikes that, you know, went out of business a couple of years ago, and then it came back. It's the early days in this technology rush, but L.A. wants to be in front of it. And, I get it, and it's okay, and a lot of people are really into it. It's bringing...
Oh, did we lose him?
Uh-oh.
Well, his phone battery just died. You know what? It's so perfect because he wasn't saying anything of value anyway.
Oh, that's terrible. But, you know, to continue his thought, you know, it's funny that...
He's going
to
call back.
I know he is. But that L.A. is the one that's talking about mobility when you can't move anywhere when you're down there, you know, because the traffic's so bad.
Right, I know, I know.
That's what cracks me up on mobility. But I'll be at Detroit, and I think you will too, won't you, Alan?
I will be at Detroit. I will be at the Consumer Electronics Show. It's interesting that, you know, L.A. wants to be the kind of the tech capital when it comes to the auto industry, as Josh, Josh was saying. This guy, I haven't seen him in so long. I just call him in any random name. But anyway, then you have the Consumer Electronics Show that is so completely massive now that it's like everybody's like complaining. It's too big because the auto industry is like encroaching on the whole thing.
And it is. And there is that crossover between the technology and automobiles. And I'm going to miss CES show this year because I'll be in Detroit.
What?
Yeah. So
hold on.
You'll be
I just got your credential. What?
You'll be at my house without me, but you got Scott Josh here to help you out.
Okay.
So he'll go with you. But I'll be in Detroit, so I'll see you at the Detroit show. And I really hate missing CES because you're right. There are so many automotive manufacturers that are there showing really cool stuff like cars being part of your house and all the new technology. And they're saving. It's interesting that they're not even sharing that with Detroit. They use it for CES.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is on the way to the studio this morning, a buddy of mine calls me from Long Island. And he says, I was charging my new e-tron Audi with 110, regular old, you know, plug-in. And I decided I should, you know, put in the 220 setup. And so I had an electrician come. He gave me a good deal. Uh-oh. Whenever you get the good deal, it's not always the good deal. And that's why, you know, with technology, you're always better off paying a little more because just that's just the way it is with the technology. So he says, what do you think those cords cost? Because mine kind of fried itself. And I was like, oh, no.
How do you do that? Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's like, you know, he had the electrician come back. No, it's not my fault, sir. Of course not. Anyway, and he's like, do you think they make aftermarket plugs for these cars? I'm like, yikes. Again, he's trying to go the cheap route, you know? It's like, now you fried the plug. Next thing to be, the car fries and your house burns down, you know? It's like, don't
go cheap.
Yeah,
you better get that checked.
That's right.
Well, you know, the aeromotive ones that go in your garage, if you do it right, instead of just doing a plug, they actually have a unit, and then that connector plugs into your car. So if you actually fried yours, you're better off just calling them because you still need a 220 outlet, but it's at least you got the power up there to help, and they can turn off automatically when you're fully charged, so it's going to help stop your house from burning down.
All right, hold on. Josh is texting me going, I just was blabbing onto myself. I had no idea the phone would drop. And so we got to call him back. All right, you're listening to The Drive. We're technology, we're talking about it, and it fails us. Too perfect. We'll be right back with Josh again. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. I feel good because I dialed Josh back on his cell phone and we're talking technology and what happens, but he drops off and he keeps on talking. And the text I got was, phone line is dead as a haddock, as we would say in Maine. Nice job, Josh. That's too funny.
Well, by the way, I was on the landline when you dropped me.
I didn't drop nothing, pal.
I was on. It was you. It was you.
You dropped me.
Okay, fair enough. I'm sure you fell on your head because we've already known that for a long time. Anyway, so what the hell were you talking about? Technology, the LA Auto Show, and then we continued talking because we thought, oh, he just hung up on us. And
yes,
talking about the Consumer Electronics Show following, and now it's too big and everybody's complaining. Here's the newest thing, BJ. They will not let you in unless you have a photo ID. It used to be that, you know, you wore a tag around your neck and you're just, you know, Fred Swanson, whatever. Now your photo has to match your face, and if it doesn't, you ain't getting in. Which is,
well,
okay, I guess, you know.
There was heightened security at SEMA this year. They had a little infrared light that they would look at your badge. And I used to be able to go up if I had guests come in from the movie industry. I used to be able to go up and say, I'm adding people, they're from my production, here are the names, and they would punch out badges for me and I would take them. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, no,
they wouldn't do it.
And you know what else it is? It's about big data, and the reason why they're doing this is because they're collecting your data, and it's very valuable.
It's more than that, they're tracking you at the show,
right?
They have
right.
tracking that it knows exactly where you're going and where you are.
Hence the reason why, you know, they know all I did was stand on the stage and go back to the bathroom and stand on the stage and go back to the bathroom about 50 times.
Well, actually, there were 14 runs to a candy machine that they noticed. And you had a Snickers four times. They know everything.
I know. It's bizarre.
They have cameras in the bathroom, too, so they know, you know.
So with the Consumer Electronics Show coming up, I don't want to think about that, by the way. But with the Consumer Electronics Show coming up, we know that the auto industry is still the big player. They're still the keynote speaker is somebody, I don't know, maybe it's the new president of Ford or whatever, since they fired our buddy Mark Fields. you know, Tesla, I'm sure, I don't know if he's going to be doing anything over there with Elon Musk, you know. What do you guys think about this? There's a new little thing going on. Yes, go ahead. I'll ask my question.
By the way, Tesla had a booth at LA Auto Show, and they never have before.
Yeah. Was anybody in it?
It was a nice booth, but they did not have they had a Model 3, but it was locked, if you can imagine.
Don't get started on Tesla, please.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because we may have two differing opinions here. I know where BJ comes from with Musk, and I think I kind of know where Josh comes from, but there was a little blurb, and I didn't read it, but I saw it, and I went, that makes sense. They said, sorry, Elon Musk, the true better electric semi will be hydrogen.
I saw that.
Right? But
there was some news this morning in that Budweiser has ordered 40 Tesla semis.
Yeah, and so has Walmart and a few other biggies.
But you have to realize they can go 400 miles on a half-hour charge. That's great. Every 400 miles, you're stopping for 30 minutes. That's absurd. It's just ridiculous.
Well, hold on a sec, because the truckers, having a commercial driver's license, you realize you can only drive 8 hours a day, and you have to have, you know, X number of hours of sleep time and off time. And so for truckers, that actually may work, BJ.
So you get to the truck stop, and all the Tesla charging stations are full of other trucks.
No, they'll have special ones for trucks. It'll be because
why is that so ridiculous to you, BJ, that they've got to stop every 400 miles?
Because that you can do 400 miles in a blink of an eye. I mean, it doesn't take that long to drive 400 miles. And it's just, to me, the down production time of stopping every 400 miles is absurd, especially with some of the deadlines that these truck drivers have. And I'm not, you know, I just think that there's probably a better way to do it. So,
yeah, but just, you know why? It's because you're used to Scott, who will drive 72 hours without taking a pee, you know?
He has a mayonnaise jar for him to pee in. And
the 1 gallon container.
They have an extra fuel tank, and they just don't stop.
Let me tell you, though, with truckers and the guys that are listening and the ladies, too, because there's a lot of female truck drivers, they'll tell you that that's probably doable every 400 miles, because if you're going 60 miles an hour, right? So you're closing in on you're needing to have downtime.
You are. And how long does it stop for you to stop and refuel? Arguably, you might wait in line there, and you've still got a fuel. It's going to take you 15, 20 minutes to do that. So,
well, you know what else? Here's another factor. The batteries, from what I hear now, this is just Alan hearsay. The batteries on these trucks cost something like $200,000, right? If you buy a new Kenworth, you're only going to spend for the whole truck, you're going to spend $130,000, right? For a really nice one. So when you're replacing the batteries every so many years with almost double the price of a brand new truck that'll last a decade or more, and 1 million, 2 million miles, whatever it is that they can put on these things, it still doesn't quite make sense. And electricity does not come out of the sky. It gets made, and it takes oil to make electricity. It's really a not a perfected system yet. That's why hydrogen, I think, is a much better, but diesel still is good.
Go ahead. I think you're incorrect on your cost numbers, because they were saying in the case of Budweiser, those trucks are going to be $150,000 a piece.
That's BS. That's crap. That's not going to happen.
There's a lot of independent truck drivers out there, too, that can't afford some of those things also. So, you know, it's going to be interesting what they charge these truckers for electricity, too, you know, depending on the state. And so I don't know. Besides, the guy can't even get out the Model 3s yet. I can't imagine him trying to get out these trucks.
Let me tell you, those trucks cost $150,000, I will eat a living dog, all right? It ain't going to happen.
To that point,
I'd like to see that.
I wanted to also say, speaking of electric vehicles, that the Lucid sedan, do you two know that car? I'm sure BJ does. The Lucid sedan, which they showed us maybe 3 or 4 years ago or 2 years ago, which is a beautiful design, no doubt. They had a car at a hotel adjacent to the show, and they invited journalists to come drive it. So I went, and there were too many people around to wait to drive it, but I did photograph the car and looked it over, and it's a very nice design. But here again, you know, a small player in the auto industry.
Which car is that? Who makes the Lucid? Is that the sports car, the sedan? What is that? Who makes it?
It's called Lucid Motors.
Lucid Motors. And Lucid is its own company. Oh, it's not owned by anyone.
Another one. Hold it. My favorite. It's the Monkees, you guys. I'm a believer.
Oh, boy.
We'll take a little break. Come back with more of BJ and Scott, or a.k.a. Josh. It is The Drive. That's the
way it seems. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo brakes the best. Josh Hancock joining us from joshcar.com. He is the man that matches the character with the car. I think I'm getting this right in all things film and television. Yeah, I've been saying it for a few years. BJ Colleen joining us, automotive journalist extraordinaire, wife of Scott Colleen. Most amazing photographer.
I mean, Josh Colleen.
What'd I say?
No, you said Scott. Yeah, just joking.
Yeah.
Mother of Rusty.
Rusty the cat. All right, Josh, you said you had one more thing you wanted to talk about with the electric car thing.
I was also going to say that the Bollinger B1, if you've seen that vehicle, which is a pure electric SUV.
Right.
Was also at the show in the lobby, the Bollinger B1.
Yeah, I saw
Robert
that.
Bollinger.
Yep.
He's an entrepreneur. He built this vehicle. He's headed for production with this vehicle. I will disclose that I actually have some involvement with the vehicle.
Oh, no!
We're seeing, you know, here we have these small companies again sort of coming into line because there's a technology that's affordable for them to put in an automobile, but the history doesn't bode well on their side, you know, and
you mean the others that went before them? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And that's kind of the story of Tesla. You know, you look at all his, how he's the darling of the stock market and the rest of it, and yet I hear all the problems with the Tesla.
Talk into your phone better. You're talking into your ear. Come on. Put it up against your face.
The rear door is not closing and all of that stuff, you know.
Damn cell phones.
I don't like
you. I don't like you either. But the question is, have you driven that Bollinger off-road Bronco-looking thing they're making?
I actually have, yeah.
Oh, really? So what was it like? Can you talk about it?
Not officially, no.
Okay. Well, anyway,
it's a great, I will say,
it looks
he's
good.
Done an amazing, amazing job, and it is engineered to be very capable off-road.
Yeah. Well, I will say I stood there and walked around and looked at it and kind of put my hand on my cheek and went, this thing actually could be something cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit industrial looking for my liking, but other than that, that's what he wants, I think.
Very much. Yeah. It actually filmed with Jay Leno's garage yesterday.
Ah, well, so now it's going to be on the map.
It'll be coming on Jay Leno's garage in the near future. So.
Yeah, right. Well,
watch it there.
There we will. That's what we'll do. Anyway, Josh, it's been really great having you back on the show with BJ again and kind of fun. Kind of fun. Not really. Not really.
can we bring everybody together in a location at some point and have Scott walking around us taking photographs?
Like we used
ship
to.
Yeah. Dick Messer in.
Yeah, you know what? A matter of fact, just so you know, I talked to Dick Messer the other day. He's in Florida, enjoying his retirement, not enjoying a few of the ailments he's having at 76 or 7 or whatever years he is. But he said to say hello to everybody. And with the holidays coming up, we really should have the Drive family reunion at the Peterson Automotive Museum. But they don't like us anymore, so I guess not. Anyway.
Josh, are you coming to Detroit for the auto show?
Yeah, Josh?
I am probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
You're doing Detroit this year?
Yeah, both of us. Yeah,
we'll be there.
Great.
So. I think the Detroit show is going to be a biggie. It seems like L.A. was a little lackluster this year, you know?
Yeah, they're all lackluster.
I agree, and I think that Detroit saw the writing on the wall a few years ago, and they went to the manufacturers, and they said, we still need to be the biggest show in the U.S., and I think they are.
Hmm. Well, I can't wait. A lot of people are talking about the mid-engine Corvette, you know, that somebody may show that, you know, sneak peek pictures or whatever.
Well, and, you know, when are we, we're not going to see a Bronco. We know that.
Do we know that?
We'll probably see a Ranger, won't we?
Well, that's the question.
We'll see a Ranger. Yeah, we'll see a Ranger. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen.
Which is fun. There's a lot of fun stuff coming, as usual, that we can be excited about.
Yeah. I'm excited about saying goodbye to you now because Carl Brower is going to be coming up in the next hour.
Well, we miss Carl, too.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right. Well, he actually got to go to the Star Wars movie. And, BJ, you could hang on. In the next hour, I'm going to talk with BJ since Josh has been hogging the whole show with his electric car talk. Hate that stuff.
DJ, it's a pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah,
Alan,
I miss you too, Josh.
Alan, goodbye. You're a haddock.
You're a haddock. All right. We got a little news here. See you, Josh. BJ and I will be back on the other side after the news. It is The Drive. He hung up! Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And I'm sitting right here with automotive expert, television and radio host, BJ Killeen. Hi, BJ.
Hi, Alan.
So we're going to do one of those real-world test drives since we can now talk about the Stinger from Kia. Earlier in the show when I had Scott on, Josh, a.k.a. Josh, I talked about that I had driven the car, but when I drove it, there was actually an embargo, and I really couldn't talk about much. But I guess that is now the embargo is lifted. We can talk freely about this car, and I must say I love it. They're not paying me to say that. I just really think they've done a great job. Now, I will not be paid to say I love something if I don't. In other words, people come to me and say, can you say this and can you do that often? And I say, no, you can't pay me to talk about your crap. And I've not actually said those words to him, but I just say, oh, no, we can't do that. Anyway, because, you know what, at the end of the day, you and I are considered influencers, and we will influence people's decisions, you know, kind of going to look at this car or potentially thinking about buying this car or any car that we talk about and endorse. So would I endorse this car as a good car, the Kia Stinger? Yes. And wow, I was impressed. What about you, BJ?
I don't think there's anybody out there who has driven the Stinger and is not impressed with this vehicle. Without a doubt, this is one of the finest vehicles that Kia has ever produced. and one of the nicest sport coupes, and actually sport sedan, I should say. It just looks like a sport coupe that is out there on the road today. And we're talking against vehicles that are a lot more expensive. So I totally agree with you, Alan. It looks good. It looks sporty. It has great performance. The engineers really did make a difference. You know, they got Albert Bierman from BMW to come over to Hyundai Kia to lead the vehicle test and high performance development team. And you got to figure a guy who worked at BMW probably knows a little something about handling and ride control. Don't you agree?
Well, I do. And not because he's from BMW, but because he's from BMW's M Performance Division, which is even, you know, that's like taking up a notch of AMG, BMW M, any of these performance divisions. These guys, they get carte blanche to just make things better, make it go faster, make it turn better, make it have, you know, more what people want. And I think that having that guy in charge of the chassis and ride and handling and developing this car on the Nürburgring in Germany, and it is a true Gran Turismo car, GT, that's what GT stands for. It's that sporty looking sedan coupe styling that, you know, makes it to where a family could own this car, but dad or mom, whoever happens to be the car enthusiast, will enjoy every minute of ownership from, you know, sitting behind the wheel and the exhilaration that they get from great acceleration, great cornering and handling, great feel of steering, of everything from the tip end of the throttle. And having, you know, if you have the twin turbo V6 model with 365 horsepower, to be able to have those horsepower just bam. I mean, wow, what a car for starting at, I think, like $38,000.
Yeah, it starts at $32,800 for the base Stinger, and then goes all the way up to $50,000 for the GT2, which is the top of the line. And they've got three other trims in between those two. But, you know, talking about the handling, even things like the brakes, they've got those Brembo brakes on there. And Kia's done something called brake fade compensation. And, you know, sometimes when you're out there driving real hard in a vehicle and you're using those brakes a lot, the brakes start to fade and you feel the pedal go to the floor. And when you do this repeatedly in this vehicle, I mean, there's very minimal brake fade. So it just gives you that amount of driver confidence that you really have trouble finding in other vehicles. And you got to give Kia credit, because there really aren't a lot of cars in this segment in their price class. So they benchmarked things like the Audi A7 and BMW 640. And even they went as far as to take a look at the Panamera, the Porsche Panamera, which is like, you know, $100,000 automobile. And they weren't afraid to pit those cars against the Stinger. When we drove the vehicles, we had an autocross course out at Magic Mountain Parkway, and we drove all those vehicles back to back with the Stinger. Right. And the Stinger just did amazingly well versus the competition. I mean, just everything about it is so balanced, and it's so fun to drive, and there's great feedback from the steering. Everything that you were saying earlier, I completely 100% agree with.
Well, you know what? And neither one of us are being paid a dime to talk about this car. I like to say that because you just never know anymore in this freaking crazy world. You know, are they paying those guys? Nope. This is just pure real world test drive, us giving you our honest opinions of a car company that has really got a game-changing machine, and we're going to talk a little more on the other side. The reason why I said 36, because I'm only interested in that V6 twin turbo. The four-cylinder model, yeah, it's a little cheaper. We'll take a break. We're talking about the Kia Stinger on the drive. I'm Alan Taylor with BJ Killeen. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with BJ Killeen. Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. We're talking about the Kia Stinger that BJ and I both have driven. It's a brand new car. It starts out as a rear-wheel drive car. Four cylinders are available, or V6 twin turbo. Both of them are turboed, but the V6 is twin turboed. They start around $32,000 with a four-cylinder, on up to $50,000 if you want the all-wheel drive V6 twin turbo, all the fancy stuff. And what an amazing machine. And BJ said it before, and you blew by it because we were going to commercial break, but the benchmark to this car were other cars like the BMW 6, the – what were the other ones? Do you remember?
Audi A7.
Audi, by the way.
Lexus, Porsche.
The designer of this car was originally an Audi designer. So you look at this car, and if it wasn't badged Kia, you'd go, oh, probably an Audi because it has that family thing going on, right? And just a beautiful machine. I think that they're going to sell the heck out of it. And the reason why is because if you take the comparable cars, they're a third more. Easily, you know, price-wise.
And in addition, they're you know, the Kia's wheelbase is longer. The overall length is longer. You know, they've got more room on the inside. It's just got a lot of pluses all the way around. They got a 15-speaker hardened audio with 720 watts of power. I mean, come on. You know, they're seriously playing with the big boys, and they're kicking some butts. Let's put it, you know, basic. It's absolutely the truth. And there's just so many great things about this vehicle. They actually have an 8-speed transmission that was designed in-house by Hyundai Kia. You know, again, here's a company that started off, what, 20 years ago maybe?
Yep.
And is already creating their own transmissions, their own engines, and it's just really impressive what they've accomplished. I did want to mention, because I know most people, this is the first question that they ask, is there a manual transmission? And there is not, because Kia said, you know, it would only be maximum 5% take rate, and the development cost couldn't be recouped. You know, you've got to certify it, and just didn't make sense. And as Kia said, as great as this car is, it's not trying to be a full-fledged race car. You know, it's just trying to be a really, really great sports sedan, and that's exactly what it is.
Yep. Hats off to Kia for making a car that excites car enthusiasts like BJ and myself, but will also be affordable and enjoyed by people that maybe aren't on the lunatic fringe like a lot of us journalists are, but still love the Fahrvergnügen, as Volkswagen say, the fun of driving. You know, that's what that Fahrvergnügen means. And I think that, you know, so many people, you know, they even though they may buy, you know, vanilla cars, they still want something that delivers the fun of driving, even though in our world today, we're looking at the car turning into a car that will drive you there and you're not even involved anymore. I think there's still a long, long way to go before people are going to let the auto industry, you know, take their cars out of their cold, dead hands, if you know what I mean. They're driving their steering wheels, I guess you might say. So I don't know. I think still the fun of driving is a very important thing for probably 75% of all car buyers, that, you know, giving you that feedback, that enjoyment of driving instead of it being like a big, numb, you know, tank going down the road like they used to be.
You know, I just want to say, too, this car, besides just being a driver's car, means more to Kia than a lot of other cars mean to other manufacturers, because Kia calls this the inflection point. And, you know, Kia's had a personality where it was, okay, known for inexpensive cars that were just okay quality. This vehicle, and, you know, gradually they've been making terrific automobiles. I mean, you know that we own a Kia Sedona minivan,
right?
And we have friends that own, you know, all kinds of Sorentos and Sportages and everything else. But this car really is where it all starts to completely differ from what the previous meaning of the brand was. So a lot is resting on this Stinger, more than just the actual vehicle itself. It's basically how Kia is going to be perceived from this point forward. And I think they've done a tremendous job being number one when it comes to initial quality and winning awards, you know, hand over fist. It's amazing how well this company has done in the time that they've been in the United States.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I think it's a tremendous departure from the inexpensive, affordable car that has a really great warranty. And all of a sudden, they're making, you know, the K900, which is a tremendous luxury machine. And it is not inexpensive. It's,
no.
You know, I mean, it's a very expensive, but it's an eyebrow raiser to anybody that looks at the machine and goes, that's a Kia? Here's another one with the Stinger. All right, we'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, BJ Colleen. Thank you for listening, and there's a whole bunch more after this.
Tissue that I wish you saw. Side captain, Mr. Know-it-all. Close your eyes. button, I'll kiss you.
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And BJ Killeen joining me. And our show is brought to you in part by Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. Next one coming up in January. Check it out at BarrettJackson.com. BJ, you and I have not been doing the show together lately because there's been so much travel going on, so many events. Yes. Have you seen anything interesting in the news that,
Yeah, I do. Let's talk pickup trucks, Alan, because, you know, pickup trucks are huge. You know, Ford is on the verge of pretty much owning a third of the pickup truck market by itself, which is gigantic. And, you know, the big fight has been between GM and Ford for a long time, Chevy in particular. And the fight has been, well, here's Ford introducing the aluminum body F-150 with an aluminum bed, right?
Yep.
So what did Chevy come back with when they, because they don't have that. So what were they saying?
I don't know.
Steel is better.
Oh, right.
Remember the big fight going on?
Okay, right.
Well, you know, it's the F-150 with the aluminum body has become a success. As a matter of fact, the Expedition and the Navigator have aluminum bodies as well, because it just makes sense for fuel economy and everything else. So GM, outside of looking really, really old and stale, has not quite made an announcement, though, but they say that they're looking at doing something with their bodies and talking about keeping steel for the cab, but maybe using aluminum or carbon fiber for the bed.
Whew.
Now, you know what carbon fiber is. It's strong,
right,
and it's lighter than steel and aluminum, but what's the drawback to carbon fiber?
Yeah, very expensive.
It's very expensive, absolutely, and it costs a lot of money to repair. So all GM did was make fun of Ford and their truck bed being aluminum. But when you think about it, if they're really thinking about using carbon fiber, they're going to have to only be able to use it on their higher trim models. And trying to get people to do a good job repairing carbon fiber is really hard. I mean, you know, you've seen it in these vehicles. And I know they have some experience with certain vehicles that they have. But seriously, are they really thinking of carbon fiber? It's going to be very interesting if they decide to pull this off. So
I can't imagine that because of the expense. And also, I mean, look, Ford Motor Company literally had to have a repair program to teach body shops how to be able to do repairs on these aluminum beds. This is military grade aluminum. It's not just, you know, soft aluminum. It's some, you know, it's a combination of aluminum and other alloys. But the point is that imagine if you had a, you know, carbon fiber bed. And I was a bodyman. I would have nowhere. I wouldn't even know where to start on a repair of carbon fiber. Wouldn't even know. That would be a whole problem.
It's a craftsman. It's a craftsman type of job. Yeah. You know, it's not the guy in the backwoods pounding on the back of the fender. You know, it's not one of those kind of things.
That was me.
So, yeah.
By the way, speaking of pickup trucks, I bought a new truck.
What'd you get?
Well, I didn't buy a new one. I bought a slightly used one. It had 3,000 miles. I got a 2017 Ram 3500 crew cab dually diesel. The Ram truck is, a workhorse like no other. They're all good. GM, Ford, and Dodge Ram. It's not Dodge anymore. It's Ram. But GM, Ford, and Ram, all really good. I just had for the last 6 years a Duramax 3500 crew cab dually four-wheel drive, same deal. That engine I never had a single issue with at all, period, in 65,000 miles, which that's not that many miles. These things will do 500,000 miles without even blinking.
Yeah.
But this is an interesting truck. A friend of mine, and I've only had it for a couple weeks, but he says to me he got 24 miles to the gallon out of a crew cab diesel dually one-ton four-wheel drive. I was getting 15 if I was going 55 in my Chevy. Of course, now it was jacked up a little bit. But, I mean, it's just amazing the fuel economy, this thing. And the secret, they tell me, is to keep it under 1,800 RPMs. That's like the sweet spot. So now I'm turning into a hypermiler. I'm like, oh, change gears. And it's got a 6-speed automatic transmission. You know, and now, of course, I'm a little jealous because GM and Ford's got this 10-speed in theirs, right?
Yes. Oh, it's amazing,
too. Right? I know.
Yes.
So these trucks keep getting better and better and better and better. But I bought this thing. Some elderly gentleman bought it, and it's a pretty bouncy buckboard. And I think he traded it back in with only 3,000 miles on it because it was beating him to death, because it is bouncy. And but you know what? If you want a work truck like that, you can't expect it to be anything else. Although with the heated and air conditioned seats and, you know, lumbar support and heated steering wheel and, you know, moonroof and all the accoutrements it had, it's very comfortable, but it still was a little much for this guy. So I was fortunate. I saved like $15,000 off of the window sticker.
What are you doing with this truck, though? What are you going to do with it?
Well, you know, I tow a trailer with all our broadcast gear when we do something like at SEMA or the auto shows. And I have a trailer. And I just, you know, I put 60,000 miles on the last truck in 6 years. And so about, what is that, 10,000 miles a year towing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, I just want to have something that is going to be reliable. You know what? This is the weird thing. For the first time in my life, I got lazy and I bought that extended warranty that does everything 100% roadside assistance. They give me a rental car. If my car breaks down, they'll fix any. If I complain, if anything at all, they fix it without any questions. And it's through the manufacturer, through FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, not through the dealership. It was like $2,400. All right. We got Carl Brower going to be coming on next. BJ, great hanging with you.
You too, as always.
As always. BJ Killeen, everybody, you can find her where? Where would you like to send them?
You can go to sundaydrive.cars.
Sundaydrive.cars. Say hi to Mark for me.
We'll do.
All right. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We're going to bring Carl Brower up next, executive publisher of Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com. He went to the world debut of Star Wars. I will be giving him a hard time. We'll be right back.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, joining us right now is my buddy Carl Brower. He has been very active. We got a couple of things to talk about. Saw him at the world debut of Star Wars, hanging out with my friend, Mark Hamill. My friend, Carl, Mark Hamill. I used to do a radio show with Mark Hamill, oddly enough. How you doing, brother?
Well, I have to always keep in mind that no matter what level I attain or where I go or who I get to see, Alan's already been here. I'm just following in his wake, people, following in his wake.
Well, you know what? I have been lucky. I've done some interesting television and radio shows in the last 30 years of my career. And every now and then you bump into the strangest people. And there was a kind of a dark period of Mark Hamill's, you might say, his career. He was a voiceover talent. A cartoon voice, right? But he didn't just do one. He has over 600 cartoon voiceovers that he's done. And he's been like the Joker in Batman cartoons. And he's very funny. I mean, he's a funny guy. And I could see some of that in the photos that you posted, believe it or not, because he's always laughing. And, you know, he's just an interesting guy. I've been to his house a number of times. Big Beatles fan, by the way. He's got a huge collection of Beatles memorabilia and stuff in his, you know, in his house and on the walls, photos of the Beatles and him with them and Just a very interesting character, but a nice dude. Let's not talk about that first, though, because that's going to be like where we'll end. Let's talk about, I don't know if you heard BJ talking, and even before that, Josh Hancock, we were talking about aluminum truck beds from Ford and Ford's kind of vast use of aluminum lately. And then now rumors that General Motors will be showing truck beds made out of carbon fiber, which I can't imagine. But then again, when, you know, the window sticker of my new truck from Ram was $70,000, and I got a buddy that got a $90,000 truck. And if you buy a Shelby equipped one, you can spend $100,000+, right? For a pickup truck. So then again, I guess I could see carbon fiber in a GM truck. But you drove, from what I'm looking at the notes here, the new Lincoln Navigator, which has extensive use of aluminum. What did you think of that?
Well, you know, first of all, I think it's great that, you know, the blue collar, the symbol of the blue collar man is the truck. And now we've got six figure trucks. But, you know, this is the world we live in today. And
right.
I guess if you can lease something or finance it for a couple hundred months, like we've got loans now, you can afford anything. That's where the market's gone.
Exactly.
But the Navigator, keeping with that theme, is, you know, if you get the black label one like they give me, you can make that cost about $98,000. So you're knocking on six figures for the Navigator. But you do get this incredible, luxurious environment and treatment that I think Lincoln is doing exactly what they need to do. They need to reestablish themselves as a serious luxury player. And you spend about 10 seconds in the new Navigator, you're going to say, I don't know who made this, but they're a serious luxury player. You know, that's what that vehicle communicates. And I think it's fabulous that it's as light as it is, despite all the luxury that it's packed with. And that's because it's using a lot of the same structural components and design elements that the new F-150, which went aluminum a couple of years ago.
Right.
And now it's reflected in the Navigator, and it's also reflected in the Ford Expedition, which, you know, shares a little bit with the Lincoln Navigator, but we'll leave that at that. And, you know, it's a fabulous car. You get in it and it's everything from the design, the way it treats you when you walk up to it, you know, they call it the Lincoln Embrace with lights that come on and the puddle mirrors and the grill and the headlights. It's an amazingly luxurious vehicle. It drives very confidently and quickly, 450 horsepower from a 3.5 liter V6, another fascinating and fabulous number that you and I probably wouldn't have believed a few years ago, Alan.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just it's a really well-executed luxury SUV that nobody is going to question once they get near it. And I think people who might otherwise be, you know, thinking, oh, Lincoln, I don't know if they're really a luxury player on the scale of a lot of the German and European brands, they should probably at least take the time to go sit in this vehicle before they make their mind up.
Well, you know, it's funny, and you kind of blew past the sister machine, which would be the Ford Expedition. My sister, talking about my sister now for a moment, just a week ago bought a 2017 Ford Expedition because she said she thought it was better looking than the 2018. And I said, but there's so many big changes coming. She goes, I don't like it. I like the one that they have today. It's so funny how there's some people that can't wait for the next new thing. And to others, that new thing is still the old thing that is being replaced by the new thing, if you know what I mean. For my sister, you know, she had the earlier generation Expedition, and now this is the new one for her, and she just fell in love with it, and man, laid down some tall 50 some odd thousand dollars, I don't know, closer to 60, for this Ford Expedition. And I said, my gosh, that was a mistake. And she's like, I don't care. And I was like, okay. But I think that the Ford Expedition 2018, same extensive use of aluminum and new restyling, I think it's going to be an amazing machine. And I've heard a lot of people that have driven this new Lincoln Navigator say the same thing you are, that it's just phenomenal. I'm glad, personally.
They're both fabulous. I was in the Expedition just last week, too, and it was the Platinum version, which is like, you know, black label for the Ford brand versus Lincoln. The top-end version. And the, you know, it's got like the 22-inch wheels that are beautiful, and it's got this great design and the power folding third row seats and second row seats. And you stand at the back of it, Alan, and you hit some buttons and you watch all the second and third row seats fold flat and down into the floor. So you have a flat load floor, and you haven't, you know, exercised the muscle except the finger muscle to make it happen. So, it's an amazing vehicle. And it's funny though, your sister's kind of, you know, point of view is what I always laugh about too, which is that you know, cars, it's basically price and looks. A lot of people want to get all wound up in what do people really want? How do you figure out which car they want and all? And I'm like, look, I'm happy to walk someone through the proper way to evaluate a car that they should or shouldn't buy. But I'm telling you what happens right now. You know, you watch a commercial, your neighbor pulls up, you're on the freeway and something drives by. I like that. You just like the looks.
Right.
Next question. What does it cost? As soon as you know that it's in a price range you can afford, that's most people's 80-90% of their research on a car. I'm telling you.
I hate to tell you.
For better or for worse.
I hate to tell you. I think I'm the same way. If something just strikes me and it ignites a fire inside my belly, I want that, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know whether it's lust or what is it. It's some carnal knowledge thing that is part of me that I can't stand. I got to have it. You know, and fortunately, I've been married 30 some odd years now. I do that with cars and not the opposite sex. But, you know, it is an emotional thing with me, you know? And I'm sure it is for you,
well,
too.
Exactly. It is for all of us. And look at this. You could have given all these reasons why your sister shouldn't have bought that car. Because the new one's coming. And what's her response? Yeah, but this one looks better.
Yeah, I like it. And you know what? It's ruby red. I call it Ruby. She's now, my car is now called Ruby. I'm like, okay, Diane. Anyway, you know, it's like she didn't even bother asking me to help her get a better deal. You broke all the rules. Oh, yeah. Those are the same rules that I break when I go buy a car.
Right.
I emotionally buy a car. All right, we're going to take a break. Carl Brower, he is the executive publisher, Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, dealer.com. And he also has carlbrower.com. You can see his escapades. He is a car guy, and that's why he gets the ticket to ride on the show. On The Drive, we'll be right back.
No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And joining me is Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, dealer.com. He's the executive publisher. He knows his stuff. So we might as well try and squeeze him for a little information on new car sales. What was the better year, 2016 or here we are at the end of 2017? Are we going to have a better year than last year, Carl?
You know, I don't think anyone thought 2017 was going to be better than 2016. All the indications at the end of 2016 were that, you know, we're kind of at the end of the party that we've had for the past, you know, 7 years, starting in 2010, where sales just went up and up and up every year.
Yeah, but
we did hit record sales.
But wait a minute. We had hurricanes this year. We had 500,000 to 1 million cars get flooded out. People need to buy new cars. Shouldn't that, or maybe they haven't got their insurance money yet or whatever, shouldn't that affect our sales for 2017 in a big way, or will it help 2018?
Well, and that's what's made it interesting. So we go into 2017 and every month is essentially like down from the previous year's month. And, you know, so it's like, well, every time we're down a month, the rest of the months have to be up for us to even get, you know, equal, let alone surpass.
Right.
And so we were down for most of the year. And then all of a sudden, the last 3 months, because of multiple things, but the hurricanes being big ones, the sales were actually really strong because a lot of people got insurance checks to replace the car that had been, you know, bathing in various types of water in along various coastal cities in the last couple months. So that flushed a lot of cars out of people's ownership and put a lot of new cars into their ownership, and that juiced sales. And it was really good, Alan, because there was a big hangover. Every year at the end of the calendar year, there's the outgoing model year that the dealers have to get rid of. That's usual. The volume of outgoing 2017, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, still sitting on lots, was looking pretty dire for a lot of manufacturers and a lot of dealers. And then the hurricanes hit. So go ahead and thank the forces of nature, right, or God or global warming, whichever one of those three you like, all three if you like them. But something helped the car companies big time by, you know, flushing a lot of people out of their current cars and into new cars in the last 3 months. And that kind of balanced it back out. Now there isn't this massive leftover 17 sitting. you can still get good deals on 17s, but it's not like it was 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And the sales now are going to be a little more interesting. We're still probably not going to beat 16 for 17s, the total new car sales volume this year, but it's going to be much tighter than it looked like it was going to be 3 months ago.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So there must have been a massive sale of vehicles there. And since those things happened in September, you know, October and November must have been huge months to even, you know, as you're saying, balance the scales a little bit. It's going to be an interesting 2018, although there's some awesome machines coming out in 2018, you know?
There is. Next year is going to be fabulous. You know, you've got performance machines, you've got trucks, you've got really important vehicles like the Jeep Wrangler, which, you know, my story goes live in about, it went live earlier this week. That's right.
Yeah.
And, but that's going to be a huge story on the 2018 Wrangler. That's the 911 of the U.S. You know, that is the most iconic car, the vehicle that's produced by this country. It has great residual value. It's got a loyal following, and there's an all new one coming for 18. And that's a huge one for next year.
Right.
But like you said, there's plenty of cool things coming for next year. And it's going to be interesting to see, because most people feel like we're going to, as much as we got closer to being, you know, almost beating 16's numbers with 17's, everyone's convinced that we're going to have to be down, you know, in 18. But I always say this, anyone in the industry who whines or moans at 16 plus million sales in a new car sales in one calendar year is kind of sounding like a whiner and a moaner, to put it nicely. You know, that's a lot of cars, and nobody thinks we're going to drop below 16 million. It might be like only quote unquote 16.5 or 16.3. And this year it's going to be like almost 17. And the previous year it was 17.5. These are all huge numbers, Alan. Everybody is selling a lot of cars at those numbers.
And it has a ripple effect across the entire United States and really around the entire world, because the auto industry affects so many other industries. And I mean, from, you know, right to, all the way to the end to the restaurant industry. You know, it's as people are spending their money, they're celebrating, good times to be had. I think that next year, I think next year is going to be a good year too. You know, and you blew past the Jeep Wrangler. Everybody, first of all, where can they find your story on this? Because I'm sure, you know, you got to drive it in New Zealand. I drove it in Arizona, but where can they find that?
You can find it in two places. I did two stories on it. It's such a massive vehicle for, in terms of, you know, redesign. So I did one for Forbes, and it's easy to find at Forbes.com. If you just type in, you know, Carl Brower and Forbes, you'll get the main landing page with all my stories. And if you do Carl Brower and Wrangler, you know, that one will probably pop up. But if you also do Carl Brower and Wrangler, you might see the one I did for Kelley Blue Book.
All right.
So it'll be on both websites. And you were right about New Zealand. I mean, the photos that I got there, I this was over a month and a half ago that I drove the car, and I was going through the photos again, putting the story together, and I'm just like, holy cow, I still can't believe these photos. Look at these things. They're really beautiful. So you know, even if you don't want to read the story, just go there to look at the photos. They're stunning.
Well, the new Jeep Wrangler, we should talk about on the other side of the break. All new.
Yes.
It is got a longer wheelbase. It's bigger. It's better in every way, shape, and form. I've driven it. Carl's driven it. All I can say is, holy cow. Hang on, everybody.
Yeah.
The Jeep Wrangler is finally here. The new one. The one that you'll want to own and you'll want to keep. All right, we're going to take a break. It is The Drive. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So Carl Brower joining us, executive publisher, Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, dealer.com, and all the rest. But he's my pal. That's why he's here. And he's a car guy. He did get to watch the new movie in front of everybody. He walked the red carpet with Mark Hamill and all those guys. So we'll talk about that at the last moments, because it just came out yesterday. Carl, real quick, I just want you to, you know, give us a taste of what you thought about the new Wrangler, the all-new Wrangler, and I mean all-new. From a distance, you're going to go, oh, they didn't change anything. But if you look closely and you really understand the differences, I mean, if you had them side by side, you go, oh, my gosh, really? Beautiful small refinements. What did you think?
Everything you said. You talked about the longer wheelbase. It's also got a slightly wider track, you know, the distance between the left and right tires. This makes the car more stable and roomy on the inside. Now the rear seats are usable, even the two-door version. The rear seat back angles also recline slightly more, so you basically can be far more comfortable in the back seat of this car. That's like a small one, but that's just something that people who want to think about the car as a functional daily driver, it's better as a four-passenger or five-passenger vehicle now, depending if you got the two- or four-door one.
Right.
It's far better on-road. It's got better steering feel, Alan. It's got better ride quality. It's quieter. I have always felt that the Wrangler was a vehicle that you had to kind of say, look, I'm willing to deal with some sloppy handling and some high road and engine noise and wind noise because of what it does off-road. And plenty of people have made that trade and love their Wranglers because they are fabulous cars. You don't really have to make that trade anymore.
Right.
And I think this vehicle's potential on sales, it's a popular vehicle. It's got a huge following as, you know, kind of quirky and slightly compromised as it is as a daily driver. And those compromises have basically evaporated with this new one. It's
you know
so much more refined.
It's funny.
So much better in every way.
I rented two for my family for our family vacation. Went to Hawaii this year to the Big Island. Two of them, a hard top and a convertible. And we decided we would put the convertible top down. Are you kidding me? I'd rather rip my ears off than put that convertible top down. Not anymore.
Yes.
They have really figured out that convertible top. One guy, 3 minutes at the most, and that's done. I mean, I think the guy said he did it in like 30 seconds. Even for the first time, it's going to take you a couple of minutes, but it before it was like a half an hour and you are like crying when you're done. They've redesigned everything on this.
It's far more functional. Every convenience feature, everything. First of all, it's got more capable drivetrain. It's got two new transmissions, an 8-speed instead of a 5-speed auto and a 6-speed instead of a 5-speed manual. So it's got better range at the low end to crawl over rock and lower gearing at the high end for highway cruising. It means it's quieter, means it's better mileage. But all the things that you don't really think about Jeep focusing on, how easy it is to put the soft top up and down, like you said,
right.
The quality of the interior. Things that people don't even really, it's like, yeah, I'm assuming that that's just not that big of a deal on a Jeep and I'm going to have to compromise. All that stuff got addressed, this redesign.
Yep.
And, you know,
and the dashboard.
Better,
the whole dashboard IP and everything. Wow. What a difference, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The interior design, the exterior design, like you said, the windshield folds down with 4 bolts instead of 28. You can do it again in minutes. Everything is easier, better, simpler, more refined about the vehicle. And yet it's still slightly more capable than it used to be in terms of its crawl ratios and its departure angles and all. Everything's better.
Yep.
And I think they're going to sell a lot. They increased capacity at Toledo, and it's a good thing. I think this is going to be a massively successful vehicle.
I agree. I think hats off to Jeep. I mean, some of the automakers right now, man, we are the best time of the auto industry. And hats off to Jeep for doing such a great job on the new Wrangler. All right. Now with our final minute and 15 seconds or whatever we can put into this, Star Wars, you were there. And is it a good movie? Am I going to like sit there and cry, laugh? Am I going to eat a lot of popcorn? What's the story?
First, you have to remember that the original came out over 30 years ago. I was this tiny kid when I saw the first one, and I loved it. And to go to the premiere and see Mark Hamill and Anthony Daniels and Peter Mayhew and all these classic actors who were in this movie over 30 years ago and be standing right next to him and talking to him. I had a long conversation with C-3PO. was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you're walking under the red carpet. They go all out. You're walking under a life-sized, you know, Imperial Walker that's, you know, about 50 feet tall.
That was
and
awesome.
You're walking underneath it. It was amazing. But the movie itself, you know, I call it the kitchen sink movie because they put everything into this movie. It's not, you know, everything you can imagine they put in a Star Wars movie is in the movie. Lightsabers and great space battles and weird monsters and all, you know, weird aliens. It's all in there. It's done pretty well. It's executed pretty well. People are going to enjoy it. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to come out. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to like it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't say two thumbs down. Thanks, Nissan, for taking me to the premiere, right? Anyway, no, I'm
no,
sure.
It's good.
You know, it's Star Wars. We're going to love it no matter what. Carl Brower, thank you, brother. Kelly Blue Book, KBB.com, Autotrader.com, Dealer.com. He's the executive director. I'm Alan Taylor. This has been The Drive. We'll see you next week.